was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed. Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties. Woohoo!
Oh, wonderful to be back here in the second podcast.
Yeah, our second episode already. Look at that.
Woo!
Woohoo!
So, it was a real milestone just getting the first one out. So, you know, it's always hardest to do your first one.
What did you say? You said first is the worst or something like that?
Your first is always your worst. And I think that's why a lot of people hesitate and they procrastinate. But also, it can be really hard to get to that point of doing your first. So if you've done your first podcast or your first anything, just know it's not going to be your best, but well done.
Yeah, you're on the right track. Because it's really hard. People love to envision, but they find like the execution the most difficult part oftentimes. Because people are just nervous to... You know, they don't want to embarrass themselves. Some people are perfectionists, and you can't let that hold you back.
And yeah, execution is everything. People always talk about, oh, I had the idea for Facebook. Oh, did you? How much did you, how much of the website did you build? Oh.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. Because I liked you had a quote that you posted once of Warren Buffett, and they said something about, like, the best idea doesn't win, it's the person that did it or something like that. I can't remember, that was a terrible rendition of it, but it was basically like, it doesn't even have to be a good idea. It beats your better idea if that person does it, basically. Anyway, so what we thought would be kind of a fun idea is we discuss quite often, you know, just questions about relationships and stuff, or, you know, we'll talk about, I like that he's laughing already. It's like, I don't even know what I do to make you laugh, but...
you didn't even let me... pick up on the fact that you completely butchered that quote, but we'll just smooth over that.
But if you know the quote, please say it.
It's gone now because we're into the next section of the show here, and we wanted to give our take from different sides of the globe and from different sides of the coin about the relationship game. So. You know,
because we are across the pond, right?
Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? So mm-hmm. What's the first question that you have for us?
So we'll get to give us a bit of backstory. I'm on Reddit quite a bit, and I've been on for, I don't know, years and years, probably close to a decade. And at first I was a lurker, which means kind of somebody that reads and never posts and doesn't create actually the username. And then I created a username, and then I created my Michelle Christine username because, you know, everyone has like a throwaway account. And... Our relationships is one of the subreddits. And we were thinking a little bit about how it'd be fun if people had questions for us and they wanted to, you know, ask them. And we thought, well, why not go to kind of the internet where people are asking questions about their relationships and give you guys what we think would be our answers to them, basically.
I think the voice is very good at giving much more of the 3D picture of a human. And if we can give that to some of the Reddit answers, maybe that might just brighten people's lives up, especially some of these questions look a little bit intense. So if they know that there's a warm-hearted people out there who've been there and have been through it, or at least have some other insights that might be beneficial, as I always say, it seems to be my phrase of the podcast on every episode, a problem shared is a problem halved. And with that, do we have our first question?
We do. Okay, so here is the question. It says, my ex, who's a male, 32 years old, from 8 years ago, continues to contact me, and I'm a female who's 30 years old. He wants to talk about our breakup. I'm considering talking to him in exchange for him leaving me alone.
That's a lovely exchange.
Yeah.
I guess this guy, just on the end of that, he's wanting to learn. And I think we mentioned this yesterday, that a lot of things come down to context and interaction, especially between the sexes. And one thing that might be beneficial with a woman or partner that they really like because they are interested is not going to work with every woman. I just let you know that, guys. There has to be that thing called chemistry and connection. And you can't force it. You can't force your way in like a bull in a china shop. That's definitely not going to get you through the door. Yes. So I think in this, if he is genuinely trying to learn, that's a great thing. And I think if that's the case, and that's actually all he wants, then the trade-off for him not harassing her, I think he'll conform to that, if that's the case.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, too, is that, you know, she's saying that continues, like her word of saying that my ex from 8 years ago continues to contact me. I would love to know kind of a little bit more about, you know, if she has then suggested, oh, if we click on it, it does give us a little bit more backstory. Ooh, should we read more of the backstory?
It's building.
Okay, let's do it. I dated Mike for 6 months in 2010. For me, it was a fling. For him, not so much. I broke it off, telling him I wasn't interested, and he seemed to feel the same. About a month after the breakup, though, he started harassing me, contacting me regular through phone, email, social media, etc. He broke into my parents' house. Ooh, okay. So now we're getting into a whole different ball game on this situation.
But did he leave a bottle of Dom Perignon, or what happens, you know? That's a bit of a different...
Wow. So he broke into my parents' house to leave tokens of our relationship. Oh my goodness. That's terrifying.
Is that a euphemism?
Since then, he has been trying to contact me through social media every 3 months to the point where I have my privacy set to the strictest settings. The only remaining account that he can communicate through is an old email that I leave open because I fear his retaliation if he can't reach me at all. A couple of days ago, I received yet another message from Mike asking me to clarify things and explain why he was a lousy partner because he's trying to be a better person. Am I crazy for considering it? I am thinking about setting up a time and speaking openly with him, not in person, in brackets, about why we broke up in exchange for him to leave me alone. And then if he doesn't bugger off, begin the process of filing a restraining order. Her first edit was, I began dating my now wife a few months after Mike and I broke up, and she is also torn on this issue. We have looked into restraining orders from the beginning, and the police have told us that there isn't enough evidence to warrant one, and in the UK, it is part of a criminal process. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I think... And obviously, if they are talking to the police will tell you as well, you need to build up a portfolio, as it were, of evidence. Like, keep a diary if these things are happening, when it happened, what happened, all of the details. If you have any evidence, keep it in a box, even though that's kind of a level of weirdness as well on your weirdo stalker, if that is the case. I think she's kind of being fair. What's really standing out for me is 8 years is a really long time. So, I think, and it's weird because this isn't the first time, even today, that you've talked to me about how a guy has broken up with someone and then they've fallen into a pattern of stalkerish behaviours. And I think it's really crazy how when you're in a relationship, women... they tend to be a lot more about the couple and a lot more loyal and dedicated from the bat. It's not always the case, but it is, you know, they seem to be the ones that are nurturing the relationship in the majority of cases that I've seen. But as soon as something breaks up, you know, the females, they tend to be hit hard, but then they recover. Yeah. And once they're in their new life, it's kind of done. You know, they're... Yeah. Spring has opened again and they are back in the game. And guys initially, when they break up, they seem to be in a good space of like, oh, that's fine, whatever. And then there's a huge dark period.
Mm.
And that's a tough period for guys. And I think that might be when this kind of stalkerish stuff can happen for some of these guys that are holding on. I'm trying to understand it more than anything. I don't think they should be doing this, you know. The best thing to do, guys, is to, you know, and for anyone that's kind of stuck on the relationship that has finished, is to work on the relationship with yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think you talked about that today.
Yeah, I did. You're right. I did talk about that today because I think in a lot of ways when people are kind of in a bad relationship or they've just broken up with each other, it does take a hit to your self-esteem. You get a bit nervous. Maybe you're back on the market again and you don't know, you know, time has passed. And you're like, oh, you know, am I still as attractive as I used to be? And you start kind of questioning these things and kind of getting a little bit nervous. And I think if you always just try to, yeah, work on yourself, say, okay, I want to get a better career, or I want to, you know, dress better, or I want to have more hobbies that I think are interesting. If you do focus on yourself, you're much more likely to meet people that also like what you like, and then they'll help you get your confidence back. And I think one person did comment on this about how if she does engage with him and actually meet him, that is encouraging this behavior. And if she's trying to stem communication, opening the door and seeing her again, it might, or again, she said not in person, but it might end up working against her in the sense of, I think he wants attention and contact. And I think that probably at this point has to be broken off. And if he wants to be a better person, there's a lot of things he can read online and that he can do without her that is going to allow him to be a better person. And I think that might just be a guilt tactic in this situation.
Yeah, I think anyone that has... It's weird because I don't really know what he left, but breaking and entering is clearly a crime in itself.
Yeah.
So he's already kind of stepped over the clear legal line there.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's left something which no one really wants, that is... that's completely unwarranted behavior. And I think if that's happening, I don't know, like maybe it is time just to completely turn the key on it.
Yeah.
And he needs to, you know, say, hey, look, I'm sorry. You need to learn this lesson yourself or from someone else, because it's just unhealthy right now for you to continue the way you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. That's a good thing to end with, and we'll go on to another question in our relationships. My 21-year-old, so she's 25, 21-year-old female friend who's 21 and female, calls me to tell me how much I mean to her, then completely ignores me when we hang out. Interesting. So I'll go a little bit more. Wow, this is a lot of, hopefully there's a TLDR, which means like too long didn't read. So there's a big, huge thing, but we'll go with the TLDR because this is very long. Friend calls me up one day and says a lot of kind, genuine things to me. How much I mean to her. I'm a good friend. She wants to spend more time with me. But then we actually hang out a couple of days later. She barely acknowledges my existence and ignores me the entire night. Am I being too dramatic, or is this actually messed up and I have the right to be angry?
You see, again, well, maybe she has shared context. It feels as though maybe they're going out with groups of friends. Because it would be weird if I'm communicating with a friend and then we're hanging out together on our own and they're not talking the whole night. So it sounds like it's a social occasion. And I think getting the right calibration and understanding of what's going to happen in different circumstances is important for this individual. You know, if they themselves are young, you know, they have a 21-year-old friend, so I'm assuming they're probably in that range. You know, if you really want time with that with that person, then have a day date with that person. You know, as friends, or go play tennis. You know, you can go do an event. Which is just you two together, you know, cinema, something together, which is just you two. And you might find the real truth behind what's going on. And you can address it there as well, if it's still an issue.
Yeah, I think it's something that if you do want to know, try to arrange a date where you have a coffee between the two of you and just also bring it up and ask. Mm. I think that might be a good thing. Just be like, hey, you know, I feel like, you know, you invited me over and I was really excited. I went to your place. There was a couple of friends that were there and you didn't talk to me at all. And I was really happy. And so I'm just kind of curious if you noticed that too. And if so, like, what are your thoughts? Or if not, then that's something that I've been noticing. And maybe it's something you're doing subconsciously.
Yeah. And I think the way you frame these sort of discussions are really important. And you used an excellent term there, Michelle. So I have to give you kudos. What's happening is based in the way you feel. And so express it in terms of the way you feel. You doing X makes me feel Y. What's going on here? Because your feeling is true to you, but it might not be what's being intended by that person in any way. And that person won't get defensive. If you say you do X means Y, they might say, no, it doesn't mean Y. It means Z, you know? And so using the right language, I think, is really important to having these types of discussions.
And I think this happens quite commonly, too, where where oftentimes one person feels a way about another person's behavior, and then when it's brought up, that other person's like, oh, I didn't realize it made you feel this way. I actually understand where you're coming from. And then you come to a really positive resolution because you talk about it. And if you don't talk about it with that person, you'll build up resentment when really, if you just sat down and had a nice discussion about it, most of the time people want to behave in a way with their friends where their friends are happy and they're getting along well and they respect each other. So obviously if she sits down with this person and frames it in a nice way and that person does get defensive and angry, well then maybe those people aren't as compatible as friends.
Yes.
But the whole thing about friends is you can have communication and you strive to be nice to each other and enjoy each other's company. That's the whole reason you want to have friends. So
a true friend is going to help you resolve you feeling bad.
Yes.
And if their actions are contributing to it in some way, then they're probably going to modify it or just being aware of it and clarifying what those actions mean.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And if they're not, yeah, like I said, if they get defensive and they get rude and mean, well, yeah, you're incompatible as friends. And, you know, sometimes it's better to end friendships that end up becoming toxic or making you feel bad about yourself. You don't want that in a friend. Your friend's supposed to help you get through this world, not make it harder. Okay, cool. So this guy, he's a 36-year-old male I've been flirting with, has been telling people, and she's a 35-year-old female, I'm stalking him. Do I need to clear my name? Interesting. So too long, didn't read. A guy I've been flirting with secretly had a girlfriend and has been telling people I'm crazy and obsessed with him. I have tons of proof that our flirting was mutual and often led by him, but I'm afraid that this will just make me look crazier.
Yeah, it's a tough situation.
It is.
I mean, you have to again, like it's striding the right balance in terms of I would have a clear statement that you check with friends or other people. That sounds almost professional, you know, like someone famous would say, you know, like they would have, like saying, at no point was I initiating this flirtation. Actually, he was, but you know what? If he wants to play games, whatever, but I'm not going to be involved past this point. And you just have a very blanket statement. And if you come out with something like that, then it completely diffuses any kind of drama or association with you having involvement further, because you've thought about approaching this in a professional way. That's what I would recommend. And then whatever he says after that, he can keep going on and on, whatever. You just keep coming back to your statement that you've worked on, which could be something that someone else can help you with.
Yeah, I agree with that. It wouldn't be the worst thing to find some people to help you kind of say something, because I feel like if someone has been, if what they're doing is, say, the girlfriend found out and then this was his kind of, I'm going to clear my name by just saying that this girl's obsessed with me and is a stalker to preserve my relationship. Like, I can't allow someone to make me a scapegoat, because you have friends and you have professional people that you work with, that your reputation is on the line. And when it comes to you being used as a scapegoat, you do have to clear your name. And I think you do have to address it. And it doesn't have to be long-winded and petty or in any way, shape, or form. But it does need to, you do need to release a statement and say, you know, this is, you know, what happened. Have some advice on it to help you. So if you think you're going to seem crazy, ask people in your life that you trust to help you craft something together so that it comes across in a very structured way.
And if there's anyone that associates between both of your groups that's close to you, that's really beneficial, because you can show them the evidence,
yes,
prove it to them, and they will fight your cause. You have your statement, and if that person is a good friend, they'll be like, yeah, I've seen it. I know the situation, and she's speaking the truth.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, definitely. That's a really good way to help. If other people are helping your cause and it's coming from them, that's incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. Okay, so my female 32 husband, who's a male 38, is cheating on me. I'm completely lost. Okay, let's see if there's TLDR in this one as well. Yep, there is. Oh well, that's basically just the statement. So they've been together for 12 years. They got married when she was 26, and they have two children. She dropped out of university to support her husband in moving to another country for his new job. Not long after that, I got pregnant with twins. She gave up on her personal dreams. Marriage hasn't always been perfect, but we've done our best. And then 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with stage four Hodgkin's.
Jesus.
And we were put through hell.
Jesus.
She was the primary caretaker. I took a job to help support them financially. And then for 1.5 years, she cleaned the night during the night in a casino in our town. Fast forward to yesterday, he went to take a shower and left his phone unlocked. I'm definitely not somebody who goes to check on these things. You know, when people say that, though, I usually, like, it's always like, is that, you know, I looking through people's phones. I scrolled quickly through it and was more than what I needed to confirm he was cheating. Apparently, he's already in contact with her since halfway through May. And the woman slept in my bed when I was working at night. I saw pictures of that. I feel like crying all the time. I feel betrayed, angry, and completely lost. What can I do? I have twins and no real job. I can't support the three of us.
Well, it's amazing that he has come through that situation. And, wow, that was a real roller coaster. It sounds a bit crazy because, like, she was supporting everyone at one point, surely. I'm not sure when he was diagnosed. I don't know.
Yeah, she said that 2 years ago, when he was diagnosed, we were put in hell. I was the primary caretaker and took a job to help support us financially. Yeah. I never complained to him about anything, and he was already going through enough. I could not compare my suffering to his, and I didn't want him to think I was being a victim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that reveals to me that she does have the resources and experience to potentially get a job.
Yes.
That's not easy. I think change is always tough, but staying in a place of continual heartbreak and turmoil is never, it's not healthy, it's not productive, it's not a good place. You need to obviously confront him and let him know this, and you know, if he's any sort of man, then he's going to be there to support his twin children.
Yes.
Right? And you have a claim on that, you know. Welfare for the children has to be given by both, you know, caregivers. So, right?
Yep.
I think, obviously, a lot of things get tangled up when something like this, you've got betrayal. She had a lot of sacrifice and being a caregiver as well. I don't know.
Like, people are capable of a lot of selfish things, but I think there's a lot of people, and I think every probably person on this planet, we have slivers of selfishness, we have slivers of generosity, we have slivers of being, you know, wonderful and caring to those we love, and we have slivers of being taking them for granted and not being fair to them. And unfortunately, some people's slivers of certain negative characteristics are much larger, and in this one, you know, you've obviously given and provided and helped, and his sliver of taking for granted is large in comparison to that. But obviously, at the same time, kind of like you said, if you're not going to be happy, if you feel betrayed and angry and devastated, staying with him is not going to fix any of those things. And it might be ripping it off like a Band-Aid. It's going to be painful initially. But like you said, if you can spend all night cleaning a casino, well, if you get divorced, your husband is legally obligated to financially help with his children.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if after his diagnosis, maybe he's not in a state fit to work. I don't know.
Mm.
So maybe that's her concern. But, I don't think you should be the one that has to be put out by this. And as hard as it might be, if he's living in the house still and, you know, you're having to sort out different rooms and you're still having to live as a family unit because funds are tight, that's not easy, but that's still going to be a better ground to live in than not facing the truth and not being truthful about this whole situation. And, yeah, it's a terrible thing, but you're going to have to be really proactive about moving on.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so our next question to our relationships / Across the Pond podcast inadvertently is 25-year-old female, getting crushes on other guys behind my boyfriend, who's 24 and male's, back. So TLDR is I've been getting intense crushes on other guys whom, in reality, I'm probably not seriously interested in, but feel unsure if I should stay with my boyfriend or take it as a sign to leave.
Well, you know, we've kind of talked about this before. When you fall in love, it's like nothing else. You know when you're in love. And I think, you know, these guys are youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
If this is happening, you probably are wanting to find someone else. Because when you're in love, no one else holds a candle to your love, right? And you don't want to spend another 5 years and miss out potentially on finding that guy that you're not going to turn, your head isn't going to be turned for another guy for. So, you know, I think this Redditor kind of knows what she wants. She just wants a little bit of support to do the thing that she wants to do. And it's like, you know what? Guys do it all the time. And I don't know why there should be one rule for guys and another for women. If you want to go and explore and to be single again, make that a reality. You know, it's your destiny. And you're probably going to regret it if you wait 5 years and say, well, I thought I was with the right one. And you know the truth.
I also, I'm just going to add like a little bit, because I was reading it here as well, and she wrote that, because they've been together for 4 years, and she's saying that they're rarely having sex now. My boyfriend likes to hang out at home and often turns down my ideas of things to do. I also tend to be the one who picks up the slack in our relationship. We have talked about these issues, and so far there hasn't been any improvement, but I also agree. I think that kind of is a very telling statement, is that not only is she getting the crushes, but at the beginning, she's kind of saying how, like, she feels a bit bored. She has ideas of what she wants to do when they're being shot down, which kind of tells me that there might be an incompatibility of interests. And with that, that boredom grows. And that's why I think these crushes are starting to happen at this frequency. And I think, I mean, for what I just went through in my life, I'm like recently separated from my husband, and we were starting to have those types of things where I would want to do something and then he would want to do something different, or I wanted to go there but he didn't want to go, and the more and more that started happening, I started noticing an increase in meeting guys and thinking, oh, and getting these little tiny baby crushes. And that's literally what happened to me, and I really do think it was a symptom that I was with the wrong person, and it took a long time for me to finally accept that. And so I don't think it's good. I don't think it's a good sign. And really, I agree that when you are with the right person, you don't think about other people. You might think people are attractive. You might think people are charismatic, but you're not going to constantly think, what would it be like to be with them instead of my partner? So I think that, I think this probably is a relationship that will end and should end.
Yeah, I think, this is kind of, you know what your heart is yearning for in terms of truth. In terms of, you know, finding something else. And it really speaks to beyond three requirements that I kind of have been coming through when we're looking at relationships. It's like compatibility, you know, everyone seems to have that based around attraction. But also you want to be looking in terms of communication and lifestyle. And so if you don't have open channels of communication, if you kind of communicate differently, you know, you should be assessing that. And you should look into that. People process differently. Some people are introverts, some people are extroverts. Some people communicate their problems. Some people prefer to go off, sort them out and come back and, you know, present them differently. And that's fine. But just as long as you know that, you know, that should be made clear. And a lot of problems can be resolved to know how people resolve their problems individually. I don't think this is more a broad kind of guide for you finding the right guy. And also on lifestyle, like if someone is, you know, like Michelle, she likes to travel, she's adventurous, she likes to be out there, but someone else is more homebound person, that lifestyle is sooner or later is going to catch up on your relationship. And I think that really speaks to this circumstance. Like, he's saying no. He's almost kind of giving the signals that he wants a different life as well. And okay, cool.
Yeah, you just, if it's a square peg in round hole, it's they're just not going to fit. And is there a way, new question, is there a way to tell my boyfriend to put more effort into his looks without making him feel bad?
The answer, quite simply, is no. But can you make him feel less bad and then also give him some good as well? And I think that's the key solution to this. Is there any, like, TLDR on this? Or
basically, she's a 22-year-old female. He's a 23-year-old male. They've been together for a couple, for 2+ years. And she said he wears one of the same 2 hoodies when we go out. Is it too much to ask for him to wear a nice button-up shirt once in a while? That's so funny. Okay, yeah. So I do think that it will, unfortunately, not make him feel good. But, yeah, it is all in the framing. Because I know that, I mean, I'm not necessarily the, I don't know how to describe it. I wouldn't say that I'm the best at taking care of myself in, like, the, like, I don't look like, I don't know, I don't dye my hair, I don't wear a ton of makeup, I don't have really nice clothes and that sort of thing, and I feel like I could easily date a person who does all those things and he would want to find a nice way of saying that to me. And I'm sure at first I'd be like, oh, but if he did frame it in a way where it's just like, you know, I really appreciate, you know, I don't know, it's, how do you frame it? What would you say?
Okay, so this is what has to happen, is that it's really important that you have at least 2 dates a week. On a psychological level, sociological studies have revealed that this is important. You should have at least 30 minutes a week where you guys get to talk about important things in a relationship every single week. And then you should have at least 1 date night a week. And ideally 2 or more, if you're into that, you know. And on date night, you should set up parameters around what you're kind of going to bring to the table on date night, you know. And you should write a wish list and get him to write a wish list about what's going to happen on this date night. And on your wish list, you can include dress smart with a shirt, etc., etc. You can even buy him the shirt as the gift with the wish list. Aww. And he would do the same, and you might find some very interesting things on his list too.
I think that's brilliant. I'm really, not to toot your horn, but that's so perfect, because that's in a way saying, look, you know, I love our relationship and, like, you know, you really, like, do it for me, but, like, I really think this might be like a fun little playful thing that we can start adopting so that we're, you know, we're as happy, you know, 5 years from now, and let's create like fun wish lists of our, like, our perfect date night. And then instead of it just being a direct, I wish I could see you wearing nice clothes, you don't wear nice clothes, it's like, it starts to become something that's fun and exciting. Like you said, maybe he'll have something like role play or like costumes in the bedroom that she had no idea. And then suddenly, you know, she's putting effort into something he'll enjoy. He's putting something into something she'll enjoy, and then things start really taking off.
Yeah, it's a rock and roll lifestyle from there.
Rock and roll lifestyle. Okay, cool. My girlfriend, or my 22-year-old, he's a 22-year-old male, and his girlfriend, who's a 20-year-old female, has gone out all night the last 3 days, and I'm upset. I'm going to talk to her this afternoon. Okay, let's click on that, see if there's a little bit more backstory. Okay, my girlfriend has gone out all night the past 3 nights and hasn't checked in much. I'm concerned that she isn't telling me something or is becoming addicted to cocaine. I don't that's funny. I don't know how to talk to her about it. Okay.
Wow, okay, yeah. Again, they seem very young. And,
very young, yes.
You know, it is a stage where people are experimenting with a lot of different lifestyle aspects. I don't know what the cocaine comment is referring to, whether that's legitimate or whether that's an exaggeration. But right. If it is a legitimate concern, that needs to be kind of a separate talk. It could be more important to talk if this person you feel is becoming an addict, and that might be more important. But if it was just an exaggeration, then we're talking about the relationship side of things. And again, communication is on my list as being really important within a relationship, and finding that person within your compatibility set. if that person isn't communicating with you, what kind of relationship are you having? Because when you have a relationship, you are relating to another person. And you can't do that if they're not communicating to you. It's the most important thing to have an open channel of communication. And you need to sit down and tell that person, look, do you want to have the best relationship that we can have? And they're going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is super important and we need to have it. Otherwise, it's going to affect our very relationship.
I completely agree. Okay, so let's look at what the next question is that we should ask. She, 23-year-old female, broke up with me, 26-year-old male, exactly 2 weeks ago. Is there any hope of us getting back together? Okay, let's do a TL. That we need more backstory on that. Oh my gosh, this is a novel. Okay, let's see here. TLDR, stress from work got to her. She became distant, then broke up with me. So yes, they broke up 2 weeks ago. Is there any hope of us getting back together?
Wow. Wow. Sounds hopeful.
Oh, man.
I mean, stress can really, really be detrimental in many areas of life, you know, especially relationships, because you're literally, you're functioning on zombie level, is what I like to call it, because you're very tired, you have pressure on you, you're very quick, you're very curt, and when you're not in your best self, you're not going to be making the best decisions. But saying that, once you do make a decision, it's kind of hard to go back on.
It is. So they said, okay, I was reading this thing once and was basically saying that, like, people who break up and get back together, and it can happen and it can work. I think even just like, yeah, the Prince William and Kate, I mean, they broke up briefly and now they have 3 kids together. So no rule is ever steadfast. Like with any advice, take it with a grain of salt. We're just two human beings sitting on a couch. So, you know, like I said, take what we say with a grain of salt. But oftentimes when you are willing to walk away and you do, the trust that it breaks in that person that you'll be there long term and that you'll not just come to another situation that's tough and that will be the exact same thing that will happen, that trust is very hard to come back. And life is a bit of a roller coaster and there's so many ups and downs that, you know, if it happened once, the natural thing is, how will I know that when shit hits the fan, which it will, and she gets stressed again, you're not going to be walking into the exact same situation. So is there a chance that you can get back together? Of course there is, but kind of like what Josh was saying earlier, like communication is key, and you will have to say, look, you know, if you do get that chance again, I'm going to be nervous that this will happen again, and the communication things have to be wide open. If you start feeling stressed, we have to talk about it immediately. If you start feeling stressed and saying things that are a bit hurtful, we have to address that immediately, because, you know, if you fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's what I meant. So, you know, it is.
Well, we don't want to shame on the podcast. No. I just say that, yeah, you know, the relationship train, I reiterate what Michelle is saying, you know, it runs on trust, and that is that comes through the channel of communication, as we were saying. And to get into a little bit of the dirt of that, when people are facing problems, they either want to speak that problem, they're an expressive problem solver, or they're someone that likes to go off and sort that out. And you have to go and talk to that person and say, hey, look, if you're someone that speaks that problem, I'm here to listen to you if that's important to you, and I can do that. And if you can do that, that's brilliant. That really help. If not, they need to find their best friend or the person they can speak to about that problem and do that, or their mum, you know. If there's someone that goes off and resolves problems and then comes back, you need to be told when they're problem solving, because now you know what's going on and you can be empathetic to when they're going to come back and you know, be around for the aftermath in that.
I agree. Okay, let's go to the next question. My, let's see here. This one's kind of funny, but I mean, I guess we can. My girlfriend, 24-year-old female, is weirdly jealous of my sister, 16-year-old female, because I let her cut my hair. It's driving me, 22-year-old male, crazy. And we don't need to go too deep into that, because that's a strange thing that his girlfriend would be jealous of his own sister for cutting his hair. So, like, do you want to go deep on that, or should we move on to the next question?
Is that TLDR?
That's, okay, let's do it.
I think it's very weird.
Sister gives me haircuts and decided to film it for her YouTube channel. Girlfriend got angry and said it's weird and me and my sister are too close. Girlfriend is just overly jealous of my sister for no goddamn reason.
This isn't PewDiePie then. Okay. Because he's got an older sister. No, it's not. I think... I don't know whether this is insinuating that you are too close with your sibling. But if you're not, and if the boundaries are safe, then it's just her insecurities and she needs to work on herself around it. If there is something else, then I don't know. I'm sure there isn't.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, I mean, again, very, very young, 21 and 22. And I think when you are that young, you are a bit more self-conscious about yourself. But, I think it's a... It's not a great sign because if she's going to be jealous of your sister, who for me is the least jealous person I would ever be with a partner because it's their sister, I would be a bit concerned about what she will now be like with future female friends you have, future coworkers you have, because this is literally... usually the person that you would think of being with at the very bottom of the total pole in the world. So that's what would make me a bit concerned.
Yeah, there's a biological determinant and, a natural instinct not to have anything there, which everyone's very aware of. So she sounds very insecure and she got to work on that.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And self-esteem can come from, other loved ones, you being there to support her, and maybe she does lean on you for that, but if she's leaning on you too much for that, again, that's unhealthy in itself. So she has to find that self-love herself, and that in itself is a whole personal development course. So,
to the next one. Me, 30-year-old female, and with my boyfriend, 34-year-old male. So she's 30, he's 34. For a year and 7 months, they've been together. I really need help on whether to confront him or not, or even continue this relationship or not. Okay, that's quite vague. Hopefully there's a TLDR on this. Okay, here we go. I found out that my boyfriend had the intention to cheat by looking through his messages, and I have no idea what to do. Should I confront him or break up with him?
Intending to cheat. Wow. I think that is, we're kind of getting into a little bit of thought police, but I think intention is everything. If someone's in a relationship and their partner is super drunk and they end up kissing someone, but then their intention was never to do anything like that, they were just blind drunk. The intention is key, Okay, cool. How does that affect your relationship? It doesn't. But if someone is intending to do something, which these words seem very with intent themselves, that's as close as you can get to the action itself. And, that's really spending the end of the relationship, I feel.
I feel exactly the same way. And I think if you want to be with a person and behind their back, you are intentionally trying to set up, the stage for an affair. It's just a horrible symptom for your relationship, and you need to break up with that person and move on, especially at that age. The thing is, they're 30 and 34, right? So if you're a 34-year-old guy, you've probably been in relationships, you've made your mistakes, you've done your early, your early F-ups, and now you're at that age, that is not, I think, an age where you even have the excuse of being a young kid and being overcome with hormones and stuff like that. Because we all make mistakes. We've all done things we regret. But, at that age, you know, I would feel like you want to be in a committed relationship with that person. And if that's the stage of your relationship and that's what you're doing behind that person's back, I think that she needs to realize that this is not a great candidate for moving forward.
Yeah. And they say, if someone's going to cheat, later in life, and be a cheater, that's, you know, this is usually this kind of age, if they are that kind of person, and that's a very defining characteristic, they're not really going to change from that. So, you know, I think the writing's really on the wall here, and it's just about picking up the pieces where you can, and know that you still have time to find good, dedicated person, because they're out there too.
Absolutely, they are. Absolutely. Because it's very easy when you're in a relationship and maybe you've been cheated on for you to think that it might be something that happens super commonly and that, you know, it could happen to you again, and it will happen to you again. But even from just reading a lot of Reddit threads on my own and on other subreddits, I can tell that both sexes, there's a lot of people that want monogamous committed relationships. So don't feel that way.
Yeah.
There's tons of people that cheat, but there really is men and women that are both, that nothing would make them happier than having a loyal, dedicated partner.
And I think also, you know, Instagram is driving a lot of insecurity for both sexes, and I know that guys might look at sexy models or people in sexy lingerie, you know, but ideally if they have a good relationship with their partner, they want to be with their partner in that sexy lingerie.
Yeah. Totally. And yeah, everyone can have fantasies and whatnot. But yeah, it's always good to know the difference of like what you're viewing and then how you perceive it or how you want to implement it versus seeing stuff and then sending, you know, that Instagram model a message being like, I really liked you in that. That's where things are going in the wrong direction. You know, we're still human beings, but our actions and what we say and what we do speak much louder than our words.
Which the likelihood of getting a reply on is super low. But if anybody does, you know, hit us up. That would be amazing to hear.
Okay. So this is a good question, seeing as we were taught, some other people had mentioned it. Caught my 24-year-old female, she's 24-year-old female boyfriend. So her 27-year-old male boyfriend was snooping through her phone. So
dangerous territory again.
Yeah. So TLDR, boyfriend snooped through my phone and I don't know how to react. So obviously I think in that sense that she is not having an affair. I don't think she's saying that because she is. So I think that, I mean, that's a tough one because, I mean, I know that woman previously had said that she snooped through her husband's phone. It's not something that she normally does. And, you know, whether or not that's the truth is irrelevant at this point. But I think that I've never snooped through my partner's phones before. I think that your phones are very personal and private, and I don't want to get into the habit of that. I think that if I don't trust my partner, that's a conversation we should be having, not me just trying to do background work, because maybe that's you just projecting your insecurities on your partner. And then what if you don't find anything, you feel terrible? If you find something, you feel terrible. I really think that, you know, you need to talk to your partner if you feel like you're having thoughts that they might be getting up to no good. I don't think looking through their stuff when they're not around, that's just such a break of trust.
Yeah, you can't act like Facebook. You know, infringement of privacy is a foul in and of itself. You know, you're distrusting that person, and all relationships is built around trust. Now, if you have suspicions, lipstick on the collar, da-da-da, you know, okay, that's kind of different in a way, and you might want to talk to someone in a professional, you know, who knows about that, who knows about someone that's cheating and stuff like that. But like, I think if you're stepping over a boundary, that's a level of disrespect within a relationship itself, and I find that as a red card in and of itself. Saying that, people do cheat, so it's tricky if that person is a cheater, you know.
And I would say that what you can do, I mean, not necessarily, like, relationships are hard and people do things that, you know, are out of insecurity and whatnot. And if you have the personality type and the relationship with that person where you think you can talk about it, say why you feel it's disrespectful and why they shouldn't do that. Talk to me about trust. That other person comes back with, you know what, I crossed the line and I'm sorry. And, you know, maybe they denied it at first when it was brought up, but you had proof or whatever. I don't know. But I don't think that everything has to be a deal breaker necessarily, especially in this situation. But you do have to uncover the reasoning behind what he did. He needs to uncover that in himself. And you need to create a situation of open communication where it doesn't get repeated and he feels comfortable, even if he's like, you know what, I know you might, or she's like, I know you might be embarrassed if, you know, I have a friend and you get a bit jealous and, you know, you tell me, hey, today I had an urge. I had an urge to check your phone and I didn't do it. And I feel bad about that urge, but I did. And I just want to let you know about that. And I know that you and him are friends. And I just want you to know that I had the urge and it was something I fought against and came out the other side. Like, I don't know if that's something you could have. I don't know, but
it sounds like a really bad habit to start, because at what point are you going to find the evidence? You're going to have to keep doing it. And once you start it, you've opened this Pandora's box of mistrust. Mm. And whenever mistrust starts seeping into a relationship, things go bad. They go bad real quick.
Well, do you think there's a way that they can have a conversation that could solve this and fix their relationship?
At the core, you should always have to put the relationship and just say, how is our relationship? Because whether that person's cheating or not, how do they feel about the relationship?
Mm. Yeah. And if they both feel positive about it and want to work through it, I think it's possible. But if she feels like this is something that's a symptom of him being too jealous or disrespecting her in a way that she feels like it could progress or get worse, then it's probably maybe a good idea to end the relationship.
I agree. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. I think when you're in a loving relationship, they're nurturing you, you're nurturing them. You know, it's like having a lovely cat, and you're not checking in on him. He might be going out, having a good time, but you respect him. The best relationships I've seen is when people are so secure with their partner, because there is that trust. It's so, the foundation of trust is built so strong that they're like, they wouldn't even think of that. They wouldn't even think of it because it's so strong.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the seeds of jealousy and mistrust are symptoms of the relationship not being at a level where it's very committed and heading in the right direction. I think it's heading in the wrong direction. It's so funny because Josh's cat keeps coming in and like purring and like wanting some attention. And it's always funny that when you have like pets and stuff like that, because you'll like tape podcasts and your pets are just like a bit bored. And they're like, I just want in on this. I'm like, I want some attention. I want some pets and some purrs, but you never know how good audio is. And it's like, it's weird. All I hear is just like a weird noise in the background.
Yeah, that wasn't heavy breathing on Bon Iver our part. That was my cat Zorro. So he's lovely.
He is lovely. Okay, cool. So, I think this is a good one actually. Okay, so she's a 27-year-old female. And her fiance, who is a 28-year-old male, is having So her family is having trouble accepting her fiancé. So her fiancé is 28, she's 27, and her family is having trouble accepting her fiancé. And so the TLDR is, my fiancé doesn't seem to fit into my family. And that is not...
I always, it's amazing how different families can be, and if a family is particularly cold, that's always tough to discover when, say, your partner has a cold family. Mm. And then if they particularly don't like you, I mean, that's going to come down to that individual's character. So for me, it's not easy, but you roll with it, and you're on top of it, and that's fine. So the fiancé, if he's a strong character, it's fine. But it's never easy, because you want all your loved ones to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why they don't like him. And Michelle's just kind of reading through it now.
I'm reading through it. So basically, she's from a wealthy family.
Right.
She's from a well-off family. The monies. Yep, Ivy League school that her parents paid for. He is from more of a working class family. But she's saying that they are fine financially.
Well, there you go.
But I think, and this can happen a lot, where if your family, because she said during dinners or gathering, my family always talk about business, networking, new projects, and they all work together and they're all in real estate and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's just something that he doesn't have a lot of experience in. So he is not included in those conversations, or doesn't, basically feels a bit left out in those situations, but he doesn't say anything about it or whatever. But, and they think because his family are, they think that because her fiance almost never says anything, he doesn't have an opinion or any knowledge. And
he doesn't have a pigeon either.
And basically their thoughts to her is that they thought that she would have found someone better.
Ooh, so there's a lot of judgment there.
Yeah.
You know, love transcends judgment. And I actually see in a lot of these circumstances, I see the opportunity for him. But if he doesn't want that life, then that's fine. But it's different because we have different tendencies and biases. And if I was looking to integrate myself in this family, I would start learning about business and property. But that's not for everyone, you know. It's actually something that's quite innate. You're either born with this kind of entrepreneurial kind of drive or not. And not everyone has that. And so I do empathize, especially if you're brought up in a working class environment, they're not really going to be talking about the same things. That does make sense. But there is an opportunity to at least explore something else, even if he doesn't do it himself or whatever. And I'm not saying to necessarily accommodate things, but to actually say, hey, you know what? I had a look at business, and I think actually the safety and security of working as an employee is something that I prefer. And actually, no businesses run without employees.
Yeah.
So guess what? You need me as much as I need you, right?
Right.
And turn it around.
Yeah.
So like explore it to a level of like, oh, this is something I might pursue. Or actually, I'm really definitely sure that it's not something I want to pursue. And now I have my opinion.
Yeah. And I think that you can work from not fitting in to fitting in by putting in that effort. And I think that I've had past relationships where I felt a little bit like that, where maybe their family was from slightly higher means and had better jobs and that and this and that. And at first, you know, it can hurt a little bit when you feel like they don't think that you're quite as, you know, established or from as higher born as they might be. But I think over time, if you make their partner happy, if they see that you work hard, you actually do have a stable life, you provide a lot of emotional support and this and that. I mean, I really do think that them seeing your love, maybe then you have kids once you're you know, married and you're a great parent. Like, I do think that it is very easy for people to be judgmental at the beginning, but it's a long game. Marriage is a long game. And I think that if you work with each other well and you build a happy life together in a family, I a lot of times that can win a family over.
And I think, you know what, at the end of the day, you have to be strong enough to say, I'm happy with him. It's your problem.
Yeah.
It's your problem to the family.
Yeah.
You know, and get to that level of detachment and say, look, this is the relationship we're going to have. Either you're going to like it and get along with him or not. So how do you want to be?
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think that there's definitely hope within this. And I'm at the point in my life now where it's interesting, where if like I have a partner and I know how important family is to me, and I know probably it's probably going to be important to them. I do know from my previous experiences that, yeah, trying trying to learn things that will make them happier, or trying to have more things to be in common, or putting on the charm offensive to win them over. It's not necessarily like you're settling or anything like that, but I think I would try in the future to really work hard at making good first impressions if I can, just because that's important to me to have that person's partner or family like me. Okay, cool. I think we're ready to go. Are we ready to wrap this up? Yes. Yes, we should. Okay, great. I have to play the jingle.
Yeah, well remembered there, Michelle. Sorry. Excellent. We worked really hard on this jingle. So, it's been wonderful to talk about this. Hopefully, we'll be setting up our own Reddit, or Michelle will be posting. So, we'll be finding out from some of her fans their biggest concerns, if they're happy to share.
Yeah, we like these questions. We could go back to a subreddit or people can submit them. We'll see how we can get that out there. Cool. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. This was fun.